same song that we learned last week. Same God. Stand to your feet with us. God, be glorified today. Let our praise be something beautiful to you, Lord. In your mighty name we pray.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the ocean. To do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness.
You are a healer.
I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness.
Yes, God, your faithfulness is our fortress that we can always run back to. You have been faithful, and you will be faithful. We're standing on your faithfulness, knowing you are the same God yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. And we call on you. We need you, God. We need you, God.
I don't believe in fairy tales. I guess I've outgrown them. That doesn't mean that I don't believe that there's something bigger than me. As I've seen in a hospital room when the doctor said sorry, but there's nothing more we can do. It wasn't her. I've never seen a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but I've got a promise I can hold in the middle of the struggle. God, if you said it, your performance may not be how I want you to. But here's what I'll do. I'm gonna wait on you. I'm gonna wait on you, God. I've tasted your goodness. I'll trust in your promise. I'm gonna wait on you.
Come on, tell him today.
I'm gonna wait on you.
Cause joy comes to me.
I've tasted your goodness. I'll trust in your promise.
Save me while I wait. You are here, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Check it one. Hey, 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 hey. Come on. Let's keep that going. Keep that going. So we wait on the Lord. We wait on the Lord. Hallelujah.
Switch over if I can here. Are we, hey, Greg, can we get the wireless going over here? Check one. All right. Listen, guys, I want to, this is obviously a big disturbance right in the middle of worship, right? I think a lot of times what ends up happening is we gather together, we come together, and because we're used to it, we come in and we enjoy the worship team singing a great song. We forget the point of worship. Your favorite guitarist isn't playing today. There's not the beautiful soft organ that is normally behind it. It's not the song I would have chosen today. I would have picked something else. Have you stopped just to come in today and instead say, God, I wait on you? This team does a phenomenal job Sunday in, Sunday out of leading us in worship, but that's it. It's leading us in worship. I want them to come back in on this part here and look, I encourage you, don't worry about what they're doing or how they're doing it, but just enjoy the moment. Have a relationship at this point in time right now with the God who looks down upon you and smiles despite your flaws, despite your circumstances, despite all the things that you're going through. Y'all start that back up. Let's wait on the Lord. Come on.
Wait on the Lord.
Yes, Father God, we wait on you even now.
He will renew your strength.
He will renew your strength.
So wait, I say.
Come on, just you and him. This is an atmosphere of worship. We come before you, Lord God, the King of Kings. Oh, I will wait on you. Right now, Lord God, I need my strength renewed. I need strength, Lord, only found in you. So, God, I wait. Oh, so I wait, Father. I will wait on you, Lord. Yes, Lord. I worship you. I worship you. Come on, church, lift up his name.
Gratitude, God.
Sometimes you just have to be still and know that He is God. There's so much power and so much weight in that one little verse. Be still. Just wait. Just abide. Know that He is God. The same God who always was and always will be. Be still. Don't get in a hurry to make it happen on your own. Just be still. His timing is perfect. Just be still. Thank you, Jesus. My words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, but you never do. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much. I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
One response.
I've got one response. I've got just one. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship. Get up and praise the Lord.
Don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song.
Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for giving us the ability to worship you, God. Lord, thank you for making a beautiful way that slips past our defenses, God, that gets by what's going on in our minds during the week and gets to our hearts to remind us of who you are, Lord, that gives us a glimpse, that renews our hope. God, that's what gives us gratitude, Lord. Lord God, help us to remember, just to never forget who you are, God. You're the same on our best day, our worst day, every day in between. There's no time when you are not the same, God. God, help us remember. Help us never to forget who you are. And thank you that we can worship you. Thank you for this glimpse. Thank you for this beautiful way to express ourselves while you express yourself to us in your beauty, Lord. We praise you today and we worship you together in the name of beautiful Son. Amen. And amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to you. I hope you feel welcome. But welcome to you today. Thank you for being here to worship together today. It's so important for us to do this all the time. All the time, right? Just like God is good. That's right, all the time. God is good, that's right. We are so thankful that you're here today. If you're a guest with us, we're honored to have you today. Thank you for worshiping with us and being here today. We love that you're here. We would love to be able to connect with you either by you filling out one of those New Here cards you see on the chair in front of you or just stopping by our New Here table in the lobby. We have gifts for you as a guest and want to just be able to say hello, connect with you, and let you know that we are glad that you are here today. So thank you for that. I'm going to ask our ushers to go ahead and come forward as we continue to worship with our morning offering. as we do each week as part of our service, to just continue to worship God with our hearts lifted up and remembering who He is and how good He is. Pray with me, if you will, for a moment. Father, we just thank You again, Lord. We thank You for who You are, all You have done, and all You have yet to do, God. The promises that You've made that You will fulfill. We worship You continually today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thanks again. Welcome again for being here. We're very glad to have you with us today. This morning, I want to be sure that I start off. I have it heavy on my heart. Not heavy on my heart in a sad way, but in a big way, that I want to say a special thank you to all of you, all the volunteers from CF that came out on Thursday night for our pastor's dinner event and served so magnificently and so wholeheartedly. It was a huge blessing for me in that night just to see you guys and have you here. The just beforehand and the way you connected with each other and the way you jumped in and the way you made our guests feel welcome, and especially the way that after that whole huge event was over, I was shocked at how fast it was all cleaned up. And just seeing people washing dishes with smiles on their faces and just enjoying and being together, you guys served beautifully on Thursday night. So thank you to all of you who are part of that, volunteers. We could not have pulled that off without you. So thank you so much for that. In regards to that, I wanted to go ahead and say another thing. We have a couple people ask, and Thursday night's a great example of this. A few people you guys have seen on Facebook, a lot of our folks who are here normally have seen on Facebook, lots more 3410 posts lately. And we've had some questions about what's going on with 3410. And that's my fault. You can blame me, and it's okay. What we're excited about is all the things that are going on with 3410. And so you're seeing a lot more of that come up. 3410, we want you, for those of you who don't know, our address and the name of our building, this facility that you're sitting in, is 3410, okay? We have a scripture verse that the Lord gave us as we were building this that goes along with us in Exodus 34:10 that talks about the people around you will see the great things that the Lord is doing among you. And we want people to see that. And so as part of that, we want to invite people into this building and into this facility, 3410, regularly to be blessed by what God has given us. So CF Paris is the church that meets together in 3410. Pastor Corey preached a great series about that when we first got in this building, about this is our house, but God has lots of things that He wants us to do with our house and lots of ways to bless the community. Thursday night's pastor's dinner was part of that. There's lots more yet to come. And so now I am functioning as the event center coordinator for 3410. We've got a lot of things going on for 3410, so you're going to hear a lot more about 3410 as a facility that we use to bless the community. But I see a Paris meeting here in 3410. We're just the same good old bunch of folks we've always been, all right? So any questions you might have had, feel free to let me know. We're excited about what's coming in our facility and what the Lord is doing in our community through that. So thank you guys for being a part of that, through your presence, through being here, through your volunteering, through your giving, and all you do. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We have an announcement video with a special guest this morning, and then we'll go for the rest of the service. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Greg. You're awesome. You did a great job this week. I just want to say that. Now into our announcements, everybody. I'm not used to this. You can kind of tell. That's okay. So Start Here class is coming up, and that's kind of the thing, the next step. Like if you're here for the first time or you've been coming for a few weeks and you want to know more about the church, Start Here is the place to go. That will happen next week. Just come into the lobby, make a left, go into the little room there with Pastor G, and you can have a donut and some coffee and just talk about kind of a fireside chat about who we are, what we believe, some of the history, and other ways to get involved here at the church.
All right, guys, we are super duper excited. This year, around the Halloween time, what we are doing is we are joining with the city, and we are going to be running all the games for the Festival of Pumpkins. But that means we need you.
Yes.
We need you.
Yes.
We're going to have 4 2-hour time slots. And so there are sign-up sheets out in the lobby. Go get signed up. We're going to be running games. We are just super excited to be in our community and just helping.
Yeah, it's going to be a great way to get out there and help and be involved and just be a part of things.
But with that, we need candy. So you guys were so great at donating candy every year. So bring your candy to church. There's going to be a bucket to drop it in out in the lobby. You can also just drop ship it right here through Amazon.
Yep, 3410 North Main Street.
Super easy. So we're super duper excited about that. And then my next announcements, ladies, save the date, November 3rd and 4th, we are going to be having a women's conference right here. It's a Friday evening and a Saturday all day. I think there's sign-ups out in the lobby already. You can sign up online. It's $30. We have some amazing speakers. You will not want to miss that, ladies. Get signed up.
I guess it's my turn. I kind of tuned out when you said women's conference. But last but not least, we need volunteers all the time. Not just like one-time volunteers for like Pumpkins in the Park that's coming up. We need that too. But all of our departments here at church need help. We need help in littles. We need help in kids. We need help in youth on Wednesdays. We need help with ushering. We need help with coffee crew. We need help all across the board. So we would love for you to kind of step up to the plate and support your church, the mission and the vision of our church, to inspire people to believe and live as if the gospel changes everything by serving your church. And so that's the next step in our lives. Like, to really be followers of Jesus, we have to put things into action. So I really encourage you to step up to the plate and get signed up somewhere. We're going to have sign-up tables in the sign-up corner on your way out in the lobby on the left-hand side, on your right if you're walking in. But if you don't even know where you want to serve yet, just put your name on the list, and we'll call you and try to help you figure that out. So we need your help. Please get signed up. I think that's all of our announcements.
I think that's
Pastor
it.
Pastor Corey's coming up.
Come
We're excited
on
to
up.
Continue to talk about
Rise Up.
Rise Up.
Right?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yes. I don't know where to go. I can't get out of the shot.
I think the funniest part of that video was watching Kimmy's stone cold straight face there at the beginning, just holding it. She just held it. She's like, Brandon can do whatever he wants to with his hands. He can say whatever he wants to right now. I'm just going to stand here. Guys, we do need help. I'm not saying that because we're desperate. I'm saying that because that's what the kingdom of God is about. Pastor Greg mentioned how awesome Thursday night was, coming together, the church. I have now lived here just over 10 years. When I moved here, I was sitting down with a group of pastors who could only talk about how excited they were that they were about to retire and be done. It was super uplifting. this is what we saw, what we experienced on Thursday night, guys. I'm telling you, is just the precipice. It's the tip of the iceberg on what God wants to do and trickling down in and throughout our community. This building here, 3410, we get to utilize it, but we can only pack out so many. I mean, ultimately, we can only put so many. There's got to be a coming together of people that are united for the body of Christ. There are pastors across this town that are hurting. And Thursday night, you guys got to be a part of extending the kingdom of God. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, there's a whole lot going on. I did have somebody ask me one time here, even just recently, about, look, guys, October's coming up, and with it is Halloween. I don't know your views on the word itself, Halloween, or some of the very evil that has been done on that day. But listen here. Having grown up in a house where we didn't celebrate it, we turned off the lights, we didn't hand out candy, I, for years, just wondered, how come everybody else got candy and I didn't? We have the opportunity to as well be a blessing in our community to kids that don't know any different than what, you don't hand out candy? You're not a Christian. We have the opportunity to be involved in people's lives. And let me just go ahead and preface it by also letting you know that greater is he who is in me than anything that this world can try and bring. So at any given point in time, my light can walk into any darkness and still be light. I encourage you to do the same. One of the things that, y'all are just going to have to bear with me because I'm not even started yet. One of the things that we're excited about, 3410 getting to host this Sunday, the police department is trying to engage the community. Have open forum talks and even sessions with the chief of police. And so what they're doing, we actually have Paris Police Department Chief Salter coming here to our facility on October the 7th. The police department is specifically looking to engage the community through churches, because they too also recognize the ability that we all have to involve the community. I encourage you guys, the police department's putting out different flyers and stuff like that. If y'all want to be here this Saturday, it's another great opportunity we have to once again be available for our community in this awesome event that they're doing. All right, jumping in, and now that you know you're getting out 15 minutes later, we're all just okay with it. And everybody said amen. Okay, hallelujah. We're good. The children's department doesn't get a vote. We just don't let them. In moments of uncertainty, God has a tendency to get our undivided attention. When times are tough, typically most people turn to God. There are exceptions to the rule. There's obviously few that they get mad at God. But on the whole, ultimately, you and I, the natural tendency in times of uncertainty, when things get difficult, when life itself is hurting, what we do is we cry out to God. Because of this, God tends to get a whole lot more done in the bumps of life rather than the smooth paved roads. He gets way more done in our lives during uncertain times than when times are easy, smooth, okay. And again, understand, it's not because that's how he operates. More so, that's how we operate, and he utilizes that. Typically, we don't learn anything when things are going well. You learn the most about yourself, you learn the most about life, you learn the most about God and who he is to you in difficult times. I'm titling today's message, Revealing Peace in Uncertain Times. And if ever there was a time, I mean now more so than any time, the Bible is so much more relevant. Not that the Bible has the answers to what you're going through. It does. I'm not saying it doesn't. But more so because the Bible is a story of conflict. Right now, we are in conflict. We hear about mental health. We know we're facing physical issues on levels that we haven't ever before. There's so many different areas of life that just seem to bombard and hit us, and then you couple all that with now we got to actually maintain relationships. What? Do you know how people act? And so relationships fall around us. It just creates more timidity between each and every one of us. We're unsure how to act, how to operate, and then you couple that with now the economy. We're not getting political. You're okay. But we do. We worry about things. We get excited about things. And in uncertain times, we have a tendency to cry out to God and wonder why. And yet the Bible is a record. It's a story of men and women who somehow found God. They discovered God's hand even during troubled times, uncertain times, difficult times. But the question I want to look at today, I want to ask is, okay, Scripture's clear, in this world you will have trouble. What do we do in the meantime? What are we supposed to do, Corey, while we wait for God to do something? I mean, you know the answer is coming. It's prayer. Oh, just pray about it. Corey, what do I do in the meantime when I've been praying about it? What do we do when uncertainty only becomes more uncertain? I've cried out to God, why? I've cried out to God, why? There's people across this room dealing with things that you never expected to be dealing with at this point in time in life. There's some that are dealing with death, with hurt, with pain, with struggles, with separations, with... there's so many different things that people today are struggling with. I spoke with another pastor here just this last Thursday, a man who I highly honor, and he said this. He said, Corey, today's pastor deals with on a daily level what we dealt with probably within a month's time. He said, and the thing is, it's just people now. They're hurting. Emotionally, he said we never dealt with this so many years ago. We dealt with problems, we dealt with death, we dealt with people having, but now, he said, across the board, people are hurting. Times are uncertain, and in those times, we cry out to God, and then at some point, we start to wonder, God, why isn't it changing? What do we do when life seems to be going the very opposite direction of what we think it should be? When it feels like God isn't answering our prayers? What do we do in the meantime? If y'all will rise with me, we're gonna read the Word of God here this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7, it says this: Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, for the opportunity that we have, Lord God, as a people to find peace. Lord, I pray that you would reveal peace even in the midst of our uncertainties. That you would reveal peace, Lord God, even in the midst of the most difficulties. Lord God, I thank you for what you're doing in this place and the peace that you have already given each and every one of us. It's in your name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right, guys, sit down, listen here. Revealing peace in uncertain times. I'm going to have to give you backstory, and I'm going to have to give it quick. But Philippians is a book written by the Apostle Paul to the church that he started in Philippi. Okay. After his conversion, Paul went back to Jerusalem and preached for a couple of years, 2-3 years. He started preaching in Jerusalem, but knew that he was called by God to start churches outside of. God had given him this specific message. And so he goes from Jerusalem then and starts planting churches throughout what we now know is basically Eastern Europe. Which, by the way, it's mind-boggling. That from this very tiny little minute moment in history, all of a sudden, this spread, this excitement, this joy that was found in these people's lives. Paul changed, and all of a sudden now he's traveling Europe starting churches. One of the very first that he started was in a town called Philippi. And in Philippi, he starts this church, but then from there, he does continue on moving all along and planting numerous other churches. Ends up making his way back around to Jerusalem. Although, he had been warned, okay, you can't go back to Jerusalem. You can't go back to Jerusalem because the leaders there, well, they're a little worked up. They want you dead, actually. And the reason they want you dead is because what you're doing is you're corrupting Judaism. The religious leaders in Jerusalem believed that Paul was corrupting their religion, their beliefs. In fact, he was telling non-Jewish people that they could worship the Jewish God, but didn't have to conform to the Jewish rules in celebrating and honoring the Jewish God. Oh, it infuriated the religious. Paul was walking around saying, you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to be, you don't have to eat these certain things only. You don't have to be a Jew to believe in this Jewish God. The religious leaders were mad. They wanted him dead. And so again, Paul is instructed, look, you probably should stay clear of Jerusalem. But not only does he go back to Jerusalem, he goes down to the square, town square, to the temple, and starts preaching and teaching. Yeah, he was seen by the very leaders that he had already made mad. And so they incited the crowd. The crowd comes in and all of a sudden grabs Paul. They drag him outside. They start beating him to the point that they were going to beat him to death. Luckily, the police, the Romans at the time, happen to be walking by. They see a fight in the streets. They do what police do. They break it up and they take the one person that's getting beat up and they're like, well, we're going to take him down to the local jail and get him away from this. At some point in that melee, what they start happening, the religious leaders start shouting out all these accusations, these laws that he has broken. And so because of these laws that he's broken, they're trumped up, they're made up, they're just throwing stuff around. They're mad at him because he's now told the people, you too can serve this God. All you have to do is believe in the Son, the Messiah, and you will be saved. Again, religious leaders are mad. What they do is throw out all these accusations. The Roman soldiers take Paul, but in taking Paul, find out that not only is he a Jew, he's also a Roman citizen. So because of that, he cannot be tried right there. Because he's a Roman citizen, he actually has to be taken to Rome to be tried for all of these trumped up accusations. So, Paul, under arrest on a ship bound for Rome, while on the ship, a storm leaves them lost at sea for 2 weeks. Lost at sea for 2 weeks, they wash ashore or shipwrecked. Paul's bitten by a snake. And then it takes them, they're kind of marooned, shipwrecked, wandering, still under arrest, trying to get back to Rome for a period of about 3 months. Paul then is put under house arrest in Rome, but because of the charges, because it's not really that important, his docket is just, it slips down to the bottom of the pile. It takes over 2 years for Paul remaining under arrest in Rome to ever be taken to trial. It's during this period, this arresting period, these 2 years where Paul knows that he's called of God to plant churches. It's during these 2 years that he writes these letters. The first one we're looking here, Philippians, to the church in Philippi. It's in this prison that Paul is writing these letters where he knows he's waiting around to be tried, and he knows as well that that trial will end in his death. Again, confident of the calling of God on his life. It's important to understand this bit in that what Paul says in these verses are, quite honestly, just extremely unpractical. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Every one of us, as soon as that scripture came up, we groaned. And yet you can't argue with the source. Because no matter the difficulty that you're currently facing in life, it does seem to, like, you don't want Paul to get up and share his story, his sob story, and then it's your turn, right? Like you're like, oh, yeah, no, amen, brothers, y'all be blessed. We're just going to let it go with Paul. Like, our lives, our hardships, when you read his story, they don't compare. And so it's critical that you understand the source. Here's what Paul has to say about uncertain situations. I want to break this down with you. Paul writes very first, rejoice in the Lord always, at which we all collectively groan. The reason we do, though, is because we don't get it. We typically don't get it. You see, Paul is saying, I want you to stop and I want you to focus on the reality of God and what he has done for you. I want you to focus on what God has done for you so much so that you begin to be overwhelmed with joy. You feel the emotion that is associated with such great news. The gospel is the good news. We're all given the good news. And yet, how often do we allow ourselves to rejoice in the emotion that's associated with understanding you and I have been given great good news? Our problem is typically the three words there in the center. Rejoice in the Lord always. You see, if I were to take out in the Lord, I think you would probably understand. If I were to say, rejoice in your new job. Like, okay, I mean, yeah, I get that. Rejoice in you just got a raise. Rejoice in she said yes. Rejoice in the economy's turning around. Rejoice in who you voted for won. Rejoice in, see, we understand, we follow along when we change the middle there. Rejoice in the kids are doing good. Right? At which point, I mean, when we hear the kids are doing good, we're like, oh, okay, whoo, relax. Rejoice. I can rejoice in that. I understand that. I get it. And yet Paul is saying, I want you to spend whatever time is necessary to capture the emotion that's associated with understanding the truth of God's word and his love for you. Stop for a moment and celebrate the emotion of that news. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Guys, this is why we worship. This is why we come together. I stood up and I shared a little bit, but it's not about what they're doing up here necessarily. I mean, it is, and we love it. We enjoy it, and there's an emotion that's attached to it, but it's relishing in that emotion to recognize the why. It's going beyond just a good song being played, a good solo being done, a great lick on the drums, whatever it is. It's going beyond that to recognize this is corporate worship. In that song, there was a line. I had to write it down. Where are we here? Sometimes all you have is a hallelujah. Oh, man, I had a conversation, and I got to be careful because I'm not discrediting or. There's a lot of people who don't understand raising hands. I get that. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from backgrounds, some where you were in it to win it. I mean, if there wasn't sawdust on the floor, like it wasn't, the Holy Spirit couldn't even show up. Others have come from backgrounds that are, there's still a reverence, there's still a beauty, but it's quieter. Sometimes the most beautiful moments in life are recognizing that all you have is this. Even when you look in the mirror and don't like what this is, sometimes you know you don't have anything else because everything else seems to have fallen, seems to have failed. And it's in those moments that you can just come to God and simply say, all I have is this, hallelujah. I encourage you, again, we all come from different backgrounds, but in worship, I encourage you, try it. There's something about a surrender. There's something about just an acknowledgement of God, regardless of what all's going on around me. I worship you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. These words, these truths, they hold truth. He continues on in verse 5. He says this, let your gentleness, other versions might say character or kindness, let your gentleness be evident to all. In other words, guys, very simply, don't let hard times erode your character. Let your gentleness be evident to all. It's very easy in hard times to allow our character to falter. As I see so many spouses nudging their husband. I mean their other spouse. That's what I meant. It's not always the husband's fault. Your character is only based on what God has done inside of you. It's not based on your circumstances. It's not based on what's going on around you. Your character is based on what God has done inside of you, the very emotion that you're rejoicing in. So in spite of your circumstances, there should be something unique about the way you treat others. In spite of your circumstances, there should always be something unique about the way you treat others. If we are the church, if you and I are the body of Christ, if it's our hands, our feet that he's using in this community, then regardless of what is happening in this community, our character will reflect him. But for most of us, our kindness is the result of our circumstances. But Paul is saying, don't allow circumstances which you have no control over to take control of your character, which should only reflect God's love and work in you, God's grace in you. He then says, the Lord is near. Very simply, in other words, God hasn't gone anywhere. The same yesterday, today, and forever. But continuing, because here comes the meat, verse 6. This is the part where I really got to lean in on Paul and his character. Do not be anxious. Do not be stressed out. Do not be distracted by emotion. Do not be anxious about anything. Here's the problem. That's not helpful advice. If somebody looks at you and says, don't worry about it, you want to shoot them. Like you have never given that thought, right? Like, oh, yeah, I'll just not worry about it. Thank you. It's the worst advice ever if left alone. But Paul doesn't leave it alone. He's smart enough to know that you can't just leave it there. So here, listen, in these next two verses, he gives us the secret to handling difficult times, handling the uncertainty, and not allowing difficult times, the uncertainties, to handle us. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Now, you've heard that preached so many times. Every situation is every situation. Every situation is your marriage situation, your job situation, your school situation, your friendship situation, your marriage situation, your lack of marriage situation, your job situation, your pay situation. Every time you're overwhelmed with anxiety, every time you're overwhelmed with worry, every time that you start to go under because of circumstances, when those moments of anxiety come, here's what God would have us do instead. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, here's where most of us miss it. We hear that scripture, and what we hear, what we read is, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, pray. And if that's your thought, welcome to the club. You've missed the point. That's not how this verse works. But that's how most of us read it. And what happens is, in disappointment, we move on. We read it and we move right along saying, what do you think I've done? I gave it to God and I still haven't heard an answer. You're saying pray in every situation, pray. You're telling me to pray, but I've done it. What now? Look again at this verse. In every situation, by prayer, but he doesn't stop there because that's not what he's talking about. By prayer and petition, again, what's that word? Kind of like another word of prayer. But wait a second, Corey, you said he wasn't going there. Stay with me. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. We know that one. Be thankful. But then, with prayer and more prayer, being thankful, present your requests to God. Here's where we miss it. That word present. In the Greek, it means reveal, but it's so much deeper than just like open the door. It's like you're revealing a mystery, a depth that wasn't there before, that you didn't understand before. Reveal. So, Paul's saying, I want you to spend the time necessary to reveal to God what it is that you, at the deepest level of your heart, what it is that your heart truly desires. So on the surface, I desire a job. Why? God, I need a job. That's a valid ask. That's a great place to start. Why? You see, instead of worrying about the surface, let's go deeper to the root of why. What's driving the request? Don't just tell God what you want. And listen here, don't just tell God what you want. Again, great place to begin, great place to start, but reveal to him the deepest desires of your heart. Digging deeper. Well, follow with me. Times of uncertainty, they cause our deepest insecurities to surface. Times of uncertainty bring to the surface our greatest fears. And at the beginning, we know that God uses these times to reveal himself to us. And yet very few of us ever pray from an understanding of insecurity and fear. You see, most of us pray at a level of, here's what I want, here's what I need, in Jesus' name, amen. God, help me find my car keys. But Paul's saying, look, you can pray that if you want. You can. Great prayer. But that's not going to fix your anxiety. Paul's saying, I want you to reveal to God something you've never revealed to anyone else. Maybe something you haven't even been willing to acknowledge or reveal to yourself. God, here's what I want, but here's why. Here's Here's what I fear could happen. Here's what I'm worried about in this situation. This is my heart's desire, God. I'm praying this because if you don't, then this is what I feel would happen. When you move past the God protect my family, God help me find a job, when you move past those prayers, what's behind those legitimate requests starts coming to the surface. Paul says, I want you to dig that up. Is it security? Is it concern for family? Is it a need to feel important, to be viewed a certain way? Is it a fear that perhaps God doesn't even know me? What's the fear? What's the base? What's the root? I want you to spend the time to understand your fears and your insecurities. Ooh. That's tough. That's heavy. I want you to spend the time to understand your fears and your insecurities. I want you to be able to move past the superficial, and I want you to bring to God the very stuff that answers the question why. Why are you concerned about this? Why is this such a big deal to you? Why is it so important to you? Bring that to God. And then, in verse 7, it says, in the peace of God. The peace of God is not the peace of circumstances. Right? We all know the peace of circumstances. Everything went great today. Kids got home on time. The meal is good. Everybody's in bed. It's a good day. We understand the peace of circumstance. But this is different. I'm talking about the peace of God that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And that word guard, the guard means to stand watch over. To stand watch over your heart and your mind. The peace will stand watch over your heart and your mind. The reason why you and I are so anxiety ridden is because you and I have not placed God, the peace of God, not allowed the peace of God to stand guard over our hearts and our minds. Hear me. What we do is we keep trying to send him to stand guard over the situation. God, I need you to stand guard over my kids. God, I need you to stand guard over my job. God, I need you to stand guard over my spouse. God, I need you to stand guard here. God, I need you to stand guard there. God, I need you to stand guard in all of that there, out there, there. We send him. God says, What if you allowed me to stand guard over your heart and your mind? What if you could have peace in spite of the very fact that there will be trouble? What if you had peace in the midst of uncertainty? What if instead of being stressed out in the very moment that would normally cause high anxiety, what if you learned to pray in such a way that at the very end of your prayer, you found peace? See, Paul's saying, look, in times of uncertainty, we pray till peace comes. Hear me. We pray not till the situation changes. We learn to pray until peace comes, to stay on our face and on our knees before God. Not until you get the job, because you may not get the job. Not until the relationship is fixed, because the relationship may not be fixed how you want it to be. Not until God intervenes in the economy, in the situation, in this place, in the government. And not until then, no, until peace comes. Not when we say, God, here's what I want, but instead, when we come before God and say, God, here's what I'm afraid will happen if you don't. Here's the reason why I'm so afraid, why I don't fully trust you in this situation. Like that's hard to say, but that's the truth of the matter. Here's the thing. When you emerge from a prayer like that, you will emerge into the same world that you went in praying about. Hallelujah. It's not that we're praying to change the world. It's that we're praying that God would change this. All of a sudden, you have the peace of God that surpasses all human comprehension. See, those are the moments where people look on you and go, like, how are you joyful? How are you able to rejoice? How are you excited? Are you in denial? But you're not. Because you're not okay that the world changed. You're okay because God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You changed. I'm closing. I know we're getting close here, and people are starting to think, wait a second. In life, guys, when you and I, when we discover an amazing peace that surpasses, defies human comprehension, it's in those moments that you recognize you know the Heavenly Father in a way that you've never known Him before. That you can rise up. That you can stand strong. Even in the face of adversity, even in the worst of circumstances. When times are difficult, when times are uncertain, our responsibility, our opportunity, is to pray until the peace comes. I'm going to wait on you. If you'll bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you so much for your word, your truth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord God, I pray that even now that you would give each and every one of us the courage to wrestle with, to be honest with, even ourselves, Lord God, in revealing to you the very insecurities, Lord God, that keep us from walking in peace. I pray now, Lord God, that across this room, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, Lord God, every child, every adult, Lord Jesus, that everybody here would recognize, Lord Jesus, that they have a faith. It doesn't matter whether they think it's a small faith or a large faith, Lord God, that you have given them a seed. And that seed, Lord Jesus, is waiting for a moment. It's waiting for rain. And the rain, Lord God, is just the simple belief in the presence of your Spirit in our lives. Father, we don't have to wait on circumstances. We don't have to wait on things to change. Lord God, right now I can rise up, I can stand and believe for peace. Father, I thank you for what you're doing even now across this room through your people. I pray that we would be different, Lord God, that circumstances wouldn't affect, Father, our energy, our lives, our people, Lord Jesus, but rather, Lord God, our attitudes would reflect your love, who you are in our lives, Lord God. And that people around us would look on and know, Lord God, not because of some speech that comes out of our mouth, Father, but because of our stance, because of our integrity, because of our love for you. They would recognize you. Lord Jesus, let your name be recognized in this community through your people. It's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Guys, y'all have a very, very, very blessed week. God bless you all.